Welcome to the LifeLink Church Podcast. We hope you hear something that will make a difference in your everyday life. If there is anything we can do to be a bigger part of God's plan for your life, then please email us at info@lifelinkchurch.com and let us know. Now prepare your hearts to hear God's word to you today.
Good morning, LifeLink Church! Let me try that one more time. Good morning, LifeLink Church! There we go. Can we give God one more praise offering this morning? Just put your hands together. Aren't you glad you came to church today? Well, I am glad as well. My name is Pastor Cherie Wright, and for those of you that may be visiting for the first time, I am the gal that is honored and privileged to be married to the nice-looking guy that was just up here, and Pastor Dave and I are honored and privileged to be pastors here at LifeLink Church, and so welcome. We're glad you're here this morning, and actually, I've got some guests with me here this morning. I want to introduce some of you have met my mom and her husband, Tom, and they come in frequently. And so my mom and Tom are here, right here on the front row. And yes, give it a hand for mom and Tom. They live up in Scottsdale, so they made the drive because a church that's alive is worth the drive. Come on, put that in the pocket. Make a t-shirt out of it, you know? And then Tom's son, Brent, and his wife, Sarah. He's my stepbrother and my sister-in-law right here. Give it up for Brent and Sarah. Yes. They come frequently as well, and they also are up in Scottsdale. But then I have somebody that's come further than them, and it's my special cousin. Her name is Janice. She came all the way from Big Dallas, Texas. And give it up for my cousin Janice. Yes. So it's so honored to have, of course, all of you. And so we're glad that you're here. And so I've got a cheering squad right here. So the rest of the church today, if you know me well enough, you know that I love just a little bit of feedback. You know what I'm saying? I used to be a cheerleader in high school and in college. And so I'm all about, whoa, and everybody can say, hey. There you go, okay? You can either say, amen, you go, girl, preach it, shake that bush, oh, don't tease me now. Whatever you want to do, but we're going to have a great time today. I'm so excited that you're here. If you made it past the greeters or the ushers this morning and you didn't get a worship guide, inside of that is an actual outline of what we're doing. I encourage you to raise your hands right now. Come on, just lift them up, and they will make their way to you, because let me say, you will want to take notes today. I know we have it on our YouVersion as well, so if you're on your phones, please don't get on the Instagram and all that. Stay connected today, because the Holy Spirit wants to connect with you. And if you're like me, I have to write things down, because I will walk out of these doors and think, that was a great experience, but what am I supposed to do? How many of you have ever done that before? So how do we avoid that? Let's write things down and stay connected. Amen? So we have been in a series now called What Matters Most. Pastor Dave kicked that off last week, and he was actually talking about who am I living for? How many of you were here last week and loved that message? This is a great time to go, oh, yeah. And if you haven't, you need to get on, because Pastor Dave did an amazing job teaching us and opening up the word to who are we living for? Is it for us, or is it for something bigger, which is God? And so I hope that you took those notes and actually watched what you were doing all week long and what was happening to see if you really are having him in our life and working to keep him first in our life. So look at somebody and say, okay, I'm ready for what's today. Look at the other person and say, now I'm glad I'm sitting by you. Okay? Because all through this sermon, one of those two people on either side of you can do a big elbow and just say, come on, let's get it going and make sure that we've got this, okay? Are y'all ready? So today we are going to focus on what matters most, and it's one of the other big issues in life, and it's, what am I alive to do? How many of you have ever asked the question, what on earth am I here for? I feel it in this service. There was a lot of silence in the first service, but that means y'all are already in. I feel it. Praise the Lord. Okay, what on earth am I here for? And I know if you're under 20 years old, that's a constant question. Like, what am I going to be doing? Because you have people that come up to you, seniors in high school, freshmen in college, and they're like, oh my gosh, yes, so cool. Congratulations on your graduation. What are you going to be in life? What are you going to do? And a lot of teenagers go, I have no idea. And that's okay. You know what I'm saying? Because you have the whole life to discover who you are and what God has put you on the planet for. But today is a big key, because maybe you're in your 60s and you're still going, what on earth am I here for? There's the silence. Okay, I get it. I get it. So there are two big dates in life. In everybody's life, it's the day that you were born and then the day you find out why. The day that you were born and the day that you find out why. And today, we're going to answer the how and the what of what God has for you individually, what you're supposed to do. Because you see, we're not just put on the planet to just breathe air. We are put on the planet for a purpose. So I'm going to pray this morning, and I'm going to ask that you open your heart and you lean in and you get those pencils or those pens, and let's go together. Father, we thank you that you are in the middle of us right now. Lord, I pray for every heart, every ear, and every eye to be open and receptive to your word today. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you're using the words that come out of my mouth and divide them in hundreds of ways to touch each person exactly where they're at. Holy Spirit, have your way in Jesus' name, and everybody shout amen. Amen. Yeah, feeling great. Okay, so let's get started. Let's start at the beginning, okay? At first, we have on the screen your fill-in. I want you to fill this in. God created me on purpose. God created me on purpose. You see, you're not an accident today. Oh, Pastor Cherie, I don't care who your mom and dad are or was, and how you even made it. Maybe you don't even know who your parents are. Maybe you were kind of told you were one of those mistakes. We didn't plan for you. Let me just say you that is not true. You were not an accident. You were divinely fashioned and created for this time, in this year, in this generation, for a purpose. And I'm excited to say that when God started in the beginning, he created the heavens and the earth. He created the birds and the animals, and he created the sea, and he created the sky, and he created everything in the atmosphere. And then he said, that's not good enough, so I'm going to create a man. And then the man was a little bit lonely. You know how men can get sometimes. Not everybody. And that's when he created a woman. Thank you. You must have a great marriage. Hallelujah. Let's hear it from the men. Amen. So, God created man and woman not just to walk around, but he created them for relationship. And so he created you, he created me for relationship. He created us on purpose. And so if you look in Psalms 139, that's in your outline, verse 13 through 16, and I'm going to have you take your pencils. You're going to circle some words with me as I read. It says, you made my whole being. Circle the word made. You formed me in my mother's body. Circle the word formed. I praise you because you made me in an amazing and wonderful way. Circle two words, made me. You saw my bones being formed as I was put together there. Circle two words, put together. And you saw my body as it was formed. Circle the word formed. All the days planned for me were written. Circle the word planned. All the days planned for me were written in your book before I was one day old. Circle the word before. Now, based on that scripture, could you see that God was pretty much involved in the whole making of you? Yeah, it wasn't just your mom and dad. Of course, it took both of them. But God was definitely in the middle of that. And you have to realize the value that you have. You see, you could not be here at this moment. I couldn't be here at this moment. I could not. But God decided to say, oh, we need little Cherie to be born in, I'm not going to tell you the year, so that she can meet little Davy, and they grow up, and I'm going to use them in Phoenix, Arizona. And they're going to bring a church to a place where they're making an impact. Do you see what I'm saying? So God was very heavily involved, and there's nobody like you. I don't even, if you're a twin in this room, you're still different. There's no fingerprint, there's no freckle, there's no personality, there is no bone structure, there's no DNA in anybody else but you. I think that's a miracle, and I think it's amazing. If you were pregnant in this room, the baby that's being formed in your womb right now, not only is the little skeleton and the little eyes and the little thing, oh, how cute or whatever, but there is a spiritual thing going on right now. There is a DNA spiritually that God is putting in that little child that is wired, fashioned, miraculously being shaped for a purpose. And he's given this little child to you to steward that and shape it so that that baby is growing up in the ways of the Lord so they can do the work of God that God's called them to do. So, Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them." Would you take that pencil one more time? Circle three words: workmanship, works, and walk. Workmanship, works, and walk. You see, workmanship means we were handcrafted, uniquely designed, custom built. Can I get an amen? We were totally in the hand of God, and he said, this is what I'm shaping. Yeah, we may all look like humans together, you know what I mean? But there is a unique design. There's nobody like us. And then we are his workmanship, and we're created in Christ Jesus for good, say that word, works. And the word works, let me just say, I'm not a scholar or anything, but I did look up the word in Greek. And the word E-R-G-O-N, ergon, is a Greek word for that word works. Are you interested in what that says? It means to accomplish an action that carries out an inner desire. So it doesn't mean a to-do list or a duty list. Oh, I got to do some good works so God approves of me. No, the work that he wants us to do is the inner desire that we were created and shaped for. How many of you are really like just totally fulfilled in life? At this moment, you'd know hands, please. How many of you could say, I could use a little more fulfillment in my life? My life is not really going the way I thought. My life has some potholes that I'm kind of feeling right now. Well, maybe, just maybe, you've been kind of driving your own car and you're kind of doing the works to get the duties done, but yet you're not in the actual lane that God wants you to be in. Because if you are doing the works of God that you're shaped to do, there's no drudgery about it. You're fulfilled. And we'll talk more about that. So I looked up the word walk in Greek, and guess what that one means? Walk. Putting one foot in front of the other. Just taking it day by day and carrying out. Now notice that this scripture says, for we are his workmanship, we're uniquely designed, created for the good works. That means the things that are deep down inside that you're shaped for to do, that he already prepared before day one of your birth. And then all he wants us to do is to walk in them. That means there's movement. That means there's no stagnation. That means there's not sitting back and I'll just think about it. That means I'm on the move. And this is what God is wanting us to do today. So, he has shaped us for a purpose. That's number two. God created me on purpose, and then he shaped me for a purpose. Look at somebody and say, you got something to do. Now look at the person that you didn't say it to and say, you too. You see, your divine purpose was determined in advance. And Jeremiah 1:5 says, before I shaped you in the womb, I knew all about you. Before you saw the light of day, I had holy plans for you. You see, he already had it. He already has it worked out. You know what I love? Dr. Mike Maiden is going to be here tonight to be a part of our ordination service, and he's an amazing man and a minister, and he said something that really impacted me. He said, many people are like, I want to know God's purpose, but I'm afraid I'm going to make a mistake. I'm afraid I'm going to mess it up, and I'm going to ruin everything. And he said, you know, God has a purpose for us, and he has a million ways to get us there. You may be in point A, and he wants you to get to point C, but you miss point B, no worries. He just moves the dot over here and says, we'll take this detour and I'll get you to point C. So you don't have to worry about if you're messing things up. God redeems. Somebody say amen on that one. God has grace. God redeems. And I'm telling you, he has a shaped purpose for all of us. Number three, your divine shape reveals your divine purpose. Shape. We're going to get into this. He created us on purpose. He shaped me for a purpose. And your divine shape reveals your divine purpose. You see, our divine purpose as a whole, let me just say this. I'm just going to give you an answer that's going to just, boing, brighten your day. Because clarity is coming today. God created me and you, write this in the blank, for a ministry in the church and a mission in the world. A ministry in the church and a mission in the world. Oh, right. That's the fill-in-the-blank churchy Christianese answer. Sure. Well, you are sitting in church, but it's not just an answer. It's the truth. God has created you. Yes, you, teenager, seasoned person, and all the in-between. He shaped you for something that is a ministry within the church, because I believe the church is the hope of the world. And God uses the church, the local church, not just LifeLink Church, but the church all over the world to bring hope and light and healing to people who are broken. And if you recall what Jesus said, his last words, it says, go into all the world, preach and teach, baptize, heal, set free, deliver. Come on, you know? And that's not just for Pastor Dave or Pastor Cherie, but it's for you. You see, he shaped you to do the works that are designed for you. Only you can do. Because see, you can do things that I'm not going to be able to do. And most people think ministry means, oh, I need to sing and play and shake a tambourine. Woo! Or hold a microphone and I must teach and preach. And no. You could be a CEO of the business and be in the marketplace and bring so much light to the world of business, finance, medical community. We can take the media in the Hollywood industry and make, do you see what I'm saying? What has God gifted you? Everybody labels it into a church box, but I'm telling you, you have gifts and talents and abilities that God has shaped you for to do the work that He's created you to do. So your divine shape reveals your divine purpose. So we're going to play a game this morning. You ready for games? So if you were a kid, and actually sometimes I go there. How many of you in your childhood had a coloring book that was called the Connect the Dots? Okay, you opened it up. It's a blank page, but it has a bunch of numbers and dots. And you take your red crayon and you begin to go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 and so forth. And then at the end, when you connected all the dots, there was a picture that was revealed. Okay, y'all know what I'm saying? Today, we're playing Connect the Dots. And I've got 5 dots for us to connect. Are you ready to connect these dots? Because at the end of these dots, I believe that as you 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, there will be like a circle. And in the middle of this circle, you will have a clearer picture of your divine purpose. Are you ready for that? Now, let me just say this. If you want total details of this, I mean, breaking it down, because you have already watched the clock, but I know how much time we have, and I can't do all the details, but where we have this available in detail is in our growth track, step 3. And if you've never been there, you need to just sign on up, because there are assessments and tests that we do that are so much fun that reveal some of the giftings and things that you will want to know. But for the sake of time today, I'm going to just highlight these. So number one, we are going to actually take the acronym SHAPE, S-H-A-P-E. S stands for spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 7 says, each of you has your own gift from God. One has this gift, another has that. You see, there are certain abilities that God placed in your life to change the world. When you have made Jesus Lord of your life and you have said, okay, God, here you go. You drive my life. He puts certain gifts and abilities inside of you, and they're so natural to you that people are like, whoa, how do you do that? And you're like, what are you talking about? It's so easy because it's what a gift that's inside of you for Him to use. These are spiritual gifts. They're different from natural abilities, and they start in a seed form, and as you grow in Christ, they begin to grow as you serve others with them, and they begin to develop. So what gifts are you using in your life? You may not, again, realize that they're gifts. Again, step 3, we have assessments that can show these. But for just the sake of mentioning them out loud, it's pastor, teacher, evangelist, prophet, apostle. These are found in Ephesians 4 and 1 Corinthians 12. Those are the scriptures that you can look up, and they support this. Or, and that's where most people think, oh, that's the ministry within the church. Right there. You have to be a pastor, a teacher, and you talk with an accent like that. And it's so much more spiritual instead of my good old Texas accent. But there's the gift of worship, faith, exhortation, encouragement, discernment. How many of you love administration? I see those 2, 3 hands. Okay. You're the people that I need in my life to make me organized. I love you. That's a gift. That's a gift. Okay? Mercy, leadership, intercession, helps, hospitality, wisdom, giving. There's so many gifts. Again, go to step three. You can find more about that. But 1 Corinthians supports this. It says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire, circle that word, spiritual gifts. So it is with you. Since you are eager to have spiritual gifts, try to excel in the gifts that build, circle that word twice, that build up the church. You see, you were given gifts, not just for you. Hey, I have the gift of worship. I've been singing since I was like coming out of my mom, right? And so I thought everybody could just sing or whatever. It's so easy. It's so easy. But I realized as I got older, oh, I'm supposed to use this for God. Now it's easy. I could just be up here singing away for me. Spotlight, please. Smoke. You know what I'm saying? I could be doing that for me, but God is like, no, 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 no. I want you to use that to lead people in my presence. I want you to use that not only to sing, but I want you to use your voice to speak my word and to rally the troops to do something for God. So I have a gift in that, but you have gifts that I don't have. And they may not be on a stage, but they may be in the quiet moment of the one-on-one conversation that you can look at somebody and you know how to get right down into their heart and open up and unlock to where the pain just pours out and you begin to bring the healing power of God and bring love and affirmation. Do you know what I'm saying, people? We've got a purpose. Look at somebody and say, I've got a purpose. I'm excited about it. So the Bible talks about these gifts, and how many of you want everything God has for you? You see, if you're not using those gifts or you're not finding out about them, it's like you aren't living your whole life fully. So all you have to do is say, God, I want it all. Be a little bit vulnerable, unfold those arms. Here I am. God, give me everything you want me to do. The next thing, H, is heart. That is your heartbeat. This one's mine. You see, today we need to take a spiritual EKG. You know what I'm saying? The Bible uses the term heart to describe the bundle of desires, hopes, and interests, ambitions, dreams, and affections that you have. It's your emotional heartbeat. I don't know about you, but we may have a heartbeat, but we may not be living. We may be just existing because we may not be flowing in the passion and the desires that God is wanting us to do. Your heart represents the source of all your motivations and what you love to do and what you care about the most. So when you're doing what you really love to do, no one has to motivate you. Think about what job you're in right now. That was a whole silence thing, right? Some of you are like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Do you have to be motivated to get to your job, or do you wake up in the morning and you're like, man, I'm ready to get to work? That's my job. I wake up in the morning and I'm like, all right, God, what do you want to do today? Where do we need to go? What's things that have to do? And I have to say, when I wake up in the morning, the enemy goes, oh my goodness, everybody get out of the way because she's on it. And I don't say that braggingly or arrogantly. I just know my purpose and I am very serious about it, but I have a lot of fun because I'm fulfilled and I have joy and I have peace. And I don't looking for it to get it filled anywhere else. I'm in my lane. And when you're in your lane, your stride is strong. And any hurdle that's in the way, I can overcome that. Do you know what I'm saying? I'm in it. And not only am I in it, but I'm passing batons to some amazing people behind me that I'm training. And then I'm receiving batons from amazing people in front of me that's saying, come on, girl, keep going. Do you know what I'm saying? I'm moving. I'm not the parked car in the garage waiting for everybody else to do everything as I shut my garage door and stay inside watching the tube. I'm doing something with my life. God wants you to do something with your life, and he's given you a heartbeat. What makes you mad? What angers you? What makes you passionate? What is your heartbeat? So many of you were here a couple of weeks ago, and I had the privilege to walk in downtown Phoenix with A21, which was all about Walk for Freedom, sex trafficking. That makes me mad. It makes me mad. And instead of just somebody better do something, what's this world coming to? I'm like, I'm walking. I'm not arrogant, but I'm strong. I'm going to make a difference. I'm going to pray and seek, what can I do to help young teenagers that are stuck in this, and the families and the people that are doing it need freedom? Do you know what I'm saying? I'm going to do something with it. What's your heartbeat? There was 131 teenage suicides in the last 15 months in our city, Gilbert, Chandler, and Queen Creek. And the last one was in August. An 11-year-old boy in Queen Creek decided to kill himself. That makes me mad. I'm mad at the enemy, because the enemy's trying to snuff out the next generation. Well, I'm called to it, and I'm here to help raise it up. And so I'm doing something. Not waiting for everybody else, but God shaped me for that. Do you know what I'm saying? I'm in a foster system now, and little. I just had last week a little baby whose mom was strung out on meth. She was 2 days old. They put the baby in my arms, 2 days old, and I got to be with her for about 5 days and minister to her and pour the love of Jesus on her and pray that she be released from the addiction of meth. At the same time, I didn't criticize her mama. I began to pray for her mom because her name was on that little band. And I didn't say, oh Lord, look what's happening. No, I said, God, touch this woman. Set her free wherever she's at, God. Let her find the love of Christ. I'm a little bit passionate today. What's your passion? Has your heart stopped for anything else beyond you? God is wanting us to wake up and to begin to do things. And it doesn't always have to be so serious. It's joy. Let's bring life and joy. In fact, Christians, could y'all just smile at me for a moment? Let's lighten up a little bit. We need to have the joy of the Lord, because that's contagious. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. And let's not be those Christians that are judgmental, gossipy, and I don't care. None of y'all are like that. It's other places maybe, but y'all are good, okay? But God is wanting our heartbeat. Where is your heartbeat? A, abilities. Romans 12:6 says, God has given each of us the ability to do certain things well. God gives people natural abilities at birth. And some people are just naturally good at stuff. My son-in-law is an amazing guitarist, right? He's so good that he just breathes and the guitar strings just go. And I'm like, oh, I always tell him I love him. He's amazing. And when you're in your lane, again, I don't have to say, James, are you practicing your guitar for Sunday, please? No, he's like in it for hours. You know? Was that good? Yeah. But some of you are good with numbers, you smart people. Some of you are great with words. Some of you are amazing with people and hard cases. Some of you are amazing athletic people. I hate you. No, I'm kidding. You don't hate. That's not good. You know what I'm saying? What are those gifts that are natural? Get out there and be a witness for Christ. get out, do the whole Olympic thing, do the whole mathematician thing, go and let's be representations of Jesus, but put him first. Don't let that consume you, that you forget about God, but let him breathe into you and make your gift go longer and higher than you can do in your natural self. Do you know what I'm saying? I'm telling you, when you're in your lane, it flows, and nobody has to tell you. Make sure you practice. You would do it and not get paid for it. Come on, where is your ability? P, personality. We have our spiritual gifts, heart, and abilities, and then personality. Now, 1 Corinthians 12:6 says, God works through different people in different ways. How many of you would love to have a whole church filled with Pastor Cherie's? Y'all are just being nice, because I know some of you would be going, I wouldn't come here. It'd be too like this, right? Confetti balloons in worship, come on. But let me just say, God loves variety, and that's why he created all of us. He created you. Our personality is the way that we interact with people, and there's no right and there's no wrong personality. God uses each of us, right? And so God loves the variety. So in your little outline, there is a test that we do in step three. Again, if you haven't been, you got to do it. But I'll just give you this. We do a DISC. It's a DISC test. It's awesome. 3% of D's all over the world are D's. 3% of people all over the world are D's. 11% are I's. 69 are S's, and 17 are C's. Now, I'm just gonna say this real quick. You gotta go to step three and you get all the details. The D's are those dominant, direct, and task-oriented people. Pastor Dave is like on the top of that. The I's are the influential, in the middle, party people. I have to say I'm a little bit over the top on that one. S's are the people that keep things steady and stable. Aren't you thankful for them? Actually, 69% of the world are the people that keep things moving. It's like, okay, I settle down. D, I got you, but we're gonna keep going this way. You know what I mean? C's are the geniuses, the ones that build the space shuttle and create music. They're the ones that are compliant and competent. Now, there's strengths in that, but then there's some weaknesses that can be there too. But if you submit everything into the Holy Spirit, he works through our personalities. You see, it takes the body to get things done. It takes the mouth, and it takes the directness for vision. It takes the mouthpiece to say, come on guys, let's go. But then it takes the S's to say, here, we're gonna help do the process. And then it takes the C's to make sure that it is done with excellence for the glory of God. We are the body. We are the local church. And the whole local church is the hope of the world. We got stuff to do together. If you're gonna give God a hand, let's give him a great one. Yay? Come on. It's not just about Sunday morning. This is the celebration, but it's Monday through Friday. What's your heartbeat? What's your ability? And what are you doing? How's your shape going? Let's keep going. Let me just say, here's an example. If we were going to stack these chairs in this auditorium right here, there would be all the D's that would say, okay, we're going to stack these chairs. You, get over here and stack these chairs. You. Stop talking, get over here and get these chairs. The eyes would pick up the chair and say, hey, how's it going, girl? And would talk all the way over there. And then the S's would say, I got it, give me an assembly line, we're just getting it going. And then the C's would be promoting the Gantt charts and the spreadsheets of how many inches we need to keep the chairs and how many need to be stacked up. Do you see how much we need each other? Nothing would get done without every single personality. So God has given you that personality to get things done. Are you still with me, church? All right. Deuteronomy 11:2 says, remember today what you have learned about the Lord through your experiences with him. This is where I'm closing on. The last word in shape, the letter, is experiences. God can redemptively use all kinds of our experiences. You see, we've all had good experiences in our life. You know, the birthdays, the wedding days, the anniversaries, the vacations, taking the kids to the park and great things happening. But then we've all had those experiences in life that have been devastating, have been disappointing. We thought we were going to be here by the time we reached 30. And what happened? Disappointed. This is my third divorce. What's going on? My surgery. I'm always in surgery. What's happening to my body? Why can't I get out and run and be free again? What is happening? Do you see what I'm saying? I've been in depression for so long because actually I can't dream anymore. It's those low points of our life that God can use. I'll just tell you one of mine. Pastor Dave and I have been married almost 30 years. We have one daughter who leads worship here. She's 27. Mary, my amazing son-in-law, had two wonderful children. Amazing. I love them so very much. We were blessed, but I wanted more kids. I had Lacey when I was 22 years old, and so I just thought, oh, the plumbing works. Let's just keep going. Woo. And nothing happened. Month after month and year after year. Lacey gets to be 6 years old, 7 years old, 8 years old. And oh, you know Pastor Cherie, she's so out there. I just kind of had my own private grieving day by day, month by month. And people would, you know, why don't you have any more kids? Come on, girl. Why don't you have any more kids? Why don't you have more kids? You just have one. And I'm like, yeah, 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 woohoo. Had my little pat answers, pain inside. And then Lacey starts asking questions. Why does everybody have brothers and sisters but me? Why wouldn't God do that for me? Well, as a mom and a dad, try telling your kid, God thinks you're so special. He just gave you to mom and dad. And then I would go in the closet and cry. What's up? God, I serve you. I'm doing all this stuff, but what's happening? So Pastor David and I, we throw ourselves into ministry, which is, let me just say, sometimes you're just a bunch of kids. Just kidding. But your kids, some of you just got that. Praise God. All of your kids are my kids. I love every single teenager, all the way down to the babies. And so, you know, I'm like, hey, cool, cool. I just love people here month after month, year after year. Lacey graduates high school. Lacey gets married. Lacey gets pregnant. Lacey has not one, but two babies. And of course, I'm amazing because I'm a mama C. All of a sudden, I'm a grandma. What's up with that? Now, I still think I'm pretty young. But I don't know if the plumbing would still work, you know? But I said, Lord, year after year in my private time, God, Jesus, I will trust you. I don't know, and I don't know why, but I know that my story's not over. You see, the medical community told us it is. I said, I gotta know. We went through treatments. We went all the way through the treatments, got the shots, got the infertility treatments, was artificially inseminated 3 times. Nothing happened. Crazy disappointment, pain. But yet I would lead worship, say, come on, church, let's serve and let's praise a God that is loving and is faithful to us. And I said it because I believed it. And then people would ask, come to my baby shower, come and celebrate this and that. Sure, here's my gift. Oh, I'm so excited. Go home, cry. You know what I'm saying? It's a grieving. Some of you know what I'm talking about. But yet I would stay in the secret place of the Most High. And I would not give up. And I wouldn't blame him, because you know I could. I could have said, what's up with you? Everybody else gets to have kids, all my friends, and they're all posting their pictures, and here I am still having that. Now I'm a grandma? Come on, God, what's up with that? I could have done it, but I didn't. Because he has a better purpose and plan that I know is bigger than me. And so I went to the fertility doctor and said, okay, what's wrong? There's nothing medically wrong with you or your husband. It's called, and it's on my record, unexplained secondary infertility. I said, that's all I needed to know. Broke my heart, but my brokenness brought me right into the arms of Jesus, where I said, your plan is bigger than mine. And I know that my story is not over. What are you going to use in this? Like, I trust you. Well, over years, I've talked about adoption. I've talked about fostering. And many of you that do that, you know I've been in your face. Like, tell me all about it. Because I love kids. And not to be a mom again, you know what I mean? I got two granddaughters. I can be a mom, and I can be a mom because all of you want me to babysit your kids. Come on. So it's not that. It's I want to make a difference in the life of somebody that's been thrown away. A life that a single mom just said, I can't do it. And I just, she's not the blame. I want to love her where she's at. Do you see what I'm saying? There was something before time. You ask my mom, I talked about it as a child, that I wanted to adopt all of Africa. I wanted to go and to the fire stations because there could be a baby on the front doorstep. I was shaped before my mom had me with this wiring. Now I'm almost 50 years old, but we got licensed in fostering and adoption just this year. And last week, while you were worshiping God, I was worshiping because was given a little girl, Native American, 2 days old, whose mom was on meth, put her in my arms to love and care for her and pray for healing. And I stayed at home, sang over her, told her, you're going to be a world changer. Well, what about her mom? Her mom was whatever. And I said, let me just say it. I began to pray over her. I said, wherever this mom is, Lord, I thank you that you are bringing your healing in her life. Okay? God uses, he never wastes a hurt. He never wastes a pain. And he takes it. Where is yours? Tomorrow, I get the honor and privilege to go pick up another baby. Yeah. Both parents strung out on heroin. And marijuana, this baby has been detoxing since September. And they said she just needs love and attention. Now, that may not be your shape. Some of y'all are like, oh my gosh, Pastor Cherie. But I can't wait to get in and hold this child forever, whatever, how long, and love. Not about me. Oh, I want to be a mommy. No. I want to be used in the kingdom. I want to make a difference in my community. And guess what? You have the same creative passion and shape inside for something. Something that's different from my passion, but God wants to use it. Experiences. Where is your hurt? Have you been divorced? Somebody needs to hear your story that you will make it. If you've been in surgeries and pain, if you've had sickness and disease, if you've had marriage issues, and you need to know somebody is already healed, set free, and delivered, and they want to tell you, you will make it. You can do it. Don't give up. We are the body. We need one another. You have a purpose, and I hope to stir you into uncomfortableness today. That your nest that you're cozy in, come on, church, is so like, I gotta do something. I gotta be a part of something greater than me. God, use me. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? Father God, we come to you right now. Holy Spirit, I pray in the name of Jesus that you arrest our hearts. Lord, that we will look, Lord, past our own circumstances, that we will not be self-centered, Lord God, any longer, but God, we will use every gift that you've given from our spiritual giftings, heart, abilities, personality, and yes, those hurts, and the good things, Lord. We want to be life-giving people that bring joy and healing. Father, there's a world out there, and I see it. Lord, I pray that each one of us in this room sees that we have a purpose and a place to build the kingdom. As your eyes are closed, I want to sing this song as a prayer. I sing my prayers, but if you know this, I want you to sing with me, but if not, just close your eyes. We're going to be leaving in just a few moments, but let this be a prayer to the Lord. If you can do anything, Lord, you can use me. If you can do anything, you can use me. So take my hands, Lord, take my feet. Touch my heart, Lord, speak through me. If you can do anything, Lord, you can use me. If you can do anything, if you can do anything, Lord, you can use me. The broken, to the lonely. Oh, if you can do anything, Lord, you can use me. So take my hands, Lord, and my feet. Touch my heart, Lord, speak through me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Lord, that is our prayer this morning. God, use every part of us to make a difference, to touch a life, to build the kingdom. We give every part of us, Lord, to you, and we submit ourselves to you, God, as Lord of our lives. Father, we don't want to be parked cars anymore. We want to move and make a difference. Lord, let the body of Christ come together in unity and love our world in the name of Jesus. I want to address those of you that may be here today and you say, God, I want to be used by the Lord, but I don't know how, I don't know what to do. And let me just say, the first step is to really make sure that Jesus is Lord of your life. And not just the fire insurance, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, I say the prayer every week when Pastor Dave's lead. Because if I die tonight, I want to be in heaven. That's cool. But I want to see a raise of hands today that say, you know what, I want to now not just say that prayer, but I want to follow God. Because I want to be used by him, and I want to stop with the control of my own life, and I want to let him be control. On the count of three, would you just lift your hands today, if you want to make him Lord of your life, but not just Lord, but follow after him. 1, 2, and 3. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Thank you. Keep those hands up. Keep those hands up. God wants to use you all across this place. Let's pray this prayer together. Jesus, I give you my heart. I give you my life. I give you every part of me. Cleanse me. Lord, I'm not just going to say that I'm a Christian. I'm going to walk out my Christianity. So use me. Touch me. I make you Lord and King of my heart. In Jesus' name. Come on, church. Let's celebrate the salvation of those. Hallelujah. Come on, let's give him praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you are blessed by God's word. For more information, visit lifelinkchurch.com.